Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
For like 20 minutes, dude. Just like looking into like the void of like his own soul, man. It was ridiculous. It was really good.
Seems intense.
Dude, it was one of the most intense, like, raw, real moments I've ever seen.
That seems about right for the guy.
Yeah.
Matt, you ready?
Yeah, I think I am.
Right. Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the tense. Starring the tense. Start. The starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 229. What's up with your boy, the Ted Smith? I'll be the host of this here podcast, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
To the left of me is always my good buddy, my burner buddy. He's always here unless he's somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. Actually, he's to the right of me. He's right here. That's by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Markets fell today as the Trump trade war continued to battle the commodity and manufacturing sectors. However, business is booming at the podcast. Shares spiked nearly 6% over the weekend and hit record highs as Cobb was found alive and in studio headed into a big summer meltdown weekend. Will Ted finally make Dolphin Girl his own? We'll find out at 6:30.
All right, back there on the wheels of steel, getting the studio set up with nice mineral water, fresh strawberries. Looks like we're at a festival right now. Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
How you doing, man?
Awesome. So I've had some traffic issues getting in here the last few weeks because it's summer. And today I left early enough that we were able to stop at Pike Place on the way in, my girlfriend and I.
All right.
And get this. Got fucking pierogi. Like, 2-minute line.
All right.
So, feeling good.
I had the opposite experience. 2 hours and 20 minutes on my way in.
Oh. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I've had some bad weeks.
I see the excitement in your eye, but I have to tell you that if you worked here during the day, you could take the secret tunnel, and over the Columbia Tower, there's a pierogi.
Oh, no way.
Same place?
I've only had it up in Northgate. I've never had it at Pike Place because the line's always so
right. So the one at Pike Place, that's the original one.
Yeah.
That's like the one Bourdain featured years ago or whatever. But like, right, so if it's they used to have one on Capitol Hill and they have one in this building.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had multiple locations.
Now they have one in Northgate.
Do they?
Yeah, I think they remodeled it and moved it, though.
Yeah, because last year at Bourbon and Bacon, they had a men's room sausage inside their pierogi.
That was really good. Ooh. Yeah, they had a different Ooey's one wrapped in it there. That's not the one I got. I got the bacon and hash one.
How's your stomach feel?
Awesome.
All right. I love pierogi, but when I used to live down there in Belltown, I felt like every time I went and got one, like an hour later, I was like, kind of sick. I mean, it's a lot of butter and flaky stuff.
Yeah.
Is it a phyllo dough?
That's I don't know.
Kind of dough. I don't know. Yeah, it's just delicious, and like I never have it because I don't go to Northgate a ton, and when I go to Pike Place, the line's usually like 70 people long.
And yeah, so, that and Beecher's.
Yeah, Beecher's. Yeah, that and Beecher's, it's like, oh, if there's no line, I'm down to eat there, just because
My problem is
always a goddamn line.
Original Starbucks too. Obviously,
I've never been in there.
Passive one.
Never been in there.
But the other thing is, like, I just got spoiled when I lived in Belltown. It's like sometimes on Sundays I'd wake up hungover and I would just go down to the market and like literally I would walk into that original Starbucks, no line, like get a coffee, go over to Beecher's, get some food. But I never, I don't know. But by like 11, you had to get the hell out of there.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I was just excited because I've never eaten that one. Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing you got here early because we started really late.
And I was still, And I was still here early after stopping at Pike Place.
That's so funny because, right, Cobb had the complete opposite coming in from the east side.
Yeah, totally. Also, save your emails. We know it's not actually the original Starbucks. We don't need to hear it.
Oh, God.
I guarantee you, like, three people are typing rapidly right now.
Yeah, bacon. Just stop it.
Put it away, man.
Stop it.
Yeah, man, I hit apocalyptic traffic, but, it's all good. I'm here. I'm pumped. I'm pumped to be in studio. I'm pumped to be alive, you know?
Yeah, everybody was worried about you. What happened to you last week?
Dude, I wish it was some cool, like, incredible story of, you know, me triumphing over evil or something like that. But unfortunately...
Some people are saying you were having sex on a paddleboard.
Okay, well, you know what? I wasn't sure how much I wanted to go into my, like, final weekend in Austin. But, okay, as a general question, would you consider... Okay, so there's... Obviously, you've heard the term threesome, right?
Correct.
At what is the tipping point where you stop saying a number and some and you tip over into orgy?
There's got to be another dude there.
Yeah, okay.
He's like at the at the Bunny Ranch I had a foursome because it was just me and three girls.
Okay.
But if there would have been another dude in there, I think we're having an orgy.
At five, what about four?
That's what I'm saying. But if it's just me and five girls, that's still like a sixsome or something. Like I think to term orgy.
Okay, this is what I'm
there
looking for.
There has to be other people in the room having sex.
Yeah.
Because you can't have
that sounds right.
If there's just one dude, that he's just super lucky and having a great day.
Matt, you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's I don't know exactly where you draw the numbers out at. If it's... Because, like, what if it's two couples being swingers? Right?
That's a good point.
Sort of
do swingers
scenario.
Do it in the same room, or do they go off in their separate ways?
Good question. I bet both happen.
Depends.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're right. Right. Are they just swinging? But if all four of them are having sex in a room, I feel like that's an orgy.
I think it depends on the relations. Because if it's just two couples, maybe, or maybe it's swinging, yeah, that might be an orgy. But definitely if the people don't know each other that well.
Yeah. How many people were in this room?
What room?
On Tuesday.
It's a hypothetical, man. Oh. No, technically speaking, I was in an orgy, but it wasn't on Tuesday. If that's your definition. On Tuesday, what happened? Oh, I was just sitting downstairs. Dude, so I knew that we had the podcast, and I'm used to it being at 6:30, right? Because that's when we record here in Seattle. So 6:30, I set all my stuff up, but I'm in Austin, obviously. Set all my stuff up, ready, kind of sitting there waiting. I'm like, oh, dude, of course, time difference, whatever. They're doing their thing. So I go downstairs, make some food. My roommate's chilling down there. He starts making some food. You know, I eat dinner. We're chatting. Like, just BSing, whatever. And, like, my phone's upstairs, silent. His phone's on silent. And so, like, maybe, like, 3-4 hours later. So, what was it, like, 8:30 when I called you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, 4 hours later, I go upstairs. My phone's been blown up. He's like, dude, his phone's been blown up because, obviously, our mutual friend, Rowan, who lives down there, was reaching out. And
right,
so,
I called Rowan. I was like, dude. Like, I thought about it after the cast. I was mad. I texted Rowan. I was in the bathroom. We're going to find out where this guy is.
Yeah, for real. Well, dude, actually, good looking out, man. Like, I didn't think about that. But, yeah, it's the first podcast I've missed in, what, like 4 or 5 years?
Yeah. Well, plus, it's just you. That's what I was saying. Like, if it had been me, you'd be like, he's sleeping it off or something. Right? But it's you, right? So it's like... Where the hell is that guy?
We were concerned. Like, when you listen back to it, you can just hear us like trying to do a show and being like, where the fuck is Cobb? What is going on? So,
well, we all make mistakes. Fun. Sorry to everybody and you guys, but here we are.
Hey, man, don't apologize to me. Apologize to the kids that are still listening after we defined what an orgy is.
Sorry, kids.
All right. A couple personal notes. Number one. We got some The Podcast stickers.
Oh, what? Hell no.
Yeah.
Oh, holy. What?
That's dope, man.
Shout out to Christopher Walken for getting those.
Oh, dude. No thank way. You. Those are dope.
Yeah, man.
I know exactly where I'm going to put my first one, too, on my suitcase. They put this, well, actually, it's a whole ordeal, but yeah.
All right.
Definitely going on my suitcase.
So we got those stickers. Those are pretty cool. We'll have to start posting them up around the city.
Yes.
So here's another funny story. Saturday, right, the men's room has this whole contest. You can win the best seats in the house. You go down to the Seafair Parade and sit with us. And like last year, I took my mom and took Joe with us.
Oh, yeah, you were saying it was awesome last year.
It's ridiculous. Year. Shout out to Albert Lee Appliance and Alfresco Grills. So this year, it's the entire men's room. So it's just going to be one listener, and they brought like three guests, right? So we go down there. Also, shout out to Tim that was doing all the cooking. He cooked a prime rib. The man is amazing. Last year was steak, and he's like, I made a prime rib for you this year. I was like, God damn it, Tim, you're the man. So we're walking down there, and right as we get
past... This is for the Torchlight Parade, right?
For the Torchlight Parade, excuse me, yeah. So right as we get down, as we're walking down there, right in front of Joe's building, right? So right there on 5th Avenue. The parade's on 4th. So I've done this before. We're going to walk down 5th. We're not going to see the traffic. So there's 20 cops, like 10 sitting on one side of this sidewalk, 10 sitting on the other, right? And they're just kind of sitting there chilling.
On 5th?
Yeah. Right in front of Joe's building. You know where I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. Right before the Benihana.
By the IBM building, for people who care.
So... I'm leading the charge. I'm walking through. And again, like, Thrill's pretty recognizable. There's not a ton of black people here.
Especially tall ones.
Right. So as we walk by, I don't even hear. But you just, one of the cops is like, man, is that Ted Smith? Mike Hawk, nice. I just hear Mike Hawk going, that is Ted Smith. You didn't recognize anybody else? I didn't say a word.
It's like, that's awesome.
It's Ted Smith.
Nice.
That's hella funny.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty good. I was like, thanks, officer.
Dude, I have a story. It's not very funny, but about you were talking about like how it was prime seating or whatever at the festival. How about this? So I flew back yesterday from Austin. I go to check my bags, and the woman's like super flustered, whatever. And you know how like everyone's always like really mean to the tellers, or not the tellers, but like flight attendants. What are those people called?
Desk agents.
Yeah, the desk agents.
Right?
So everyone's like, so she's super flustered. You can tell she's like on the not quite on the edge of tears, but like it's getting to her. And I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, like, how's your day going? Da-da-da. She's like, stressful. And she's like, not even making eye contact with me. So I'm like, okay, cool. Well, here's my bags, whatever. And I had paid for a bag, but I booked through this other service. So she was having trouble finding it. And I was like, she was like, what? Like, I don't have time. I'm just going to check them. I'm not going to charge you. It's like, okay, cool. Thanks. And like, she was like almost getting more and more aggravated. I was like, hey, just so you know, like, we all appreciate it. I know you're hustling back there, and like everyone in line appreciates you moving fast to get them on the plane. Cause that's why she was saying, I was like, hey, take your time. And she's like, I can't. I got to get everyone on before this plane leaves. And I was like, okay, cool. So anyway, I was like, everybody, you know, we all appreciate you. And because my bags had been free, you know, saved like $90, I was just like, I took a 10 out of my wallet and just, I was like, I don't know if you guys are allowed to take tips or not, but just, you know, if this blows over onto you, whatever happens, I'm going to just leave it there, right? So she kind of like doesn't really glance up and just like, you know, still kind of in her zone. I was like, okay, cool. Well, whatever. Like, at least I did my part. So I walk away from the ticketing counter. I go get on the plane. And as I'm getting on the plane, I take like two steps down the little breezeway.
Jetway,
thank you. And I have my scooter helmet in my hand. And for people who don't know, it's a big kangaroo helmet. So the guy goes, wait, hold up. And I'm like, didn't do it. Don't get
nice.
Me. And I'm like, dude, they're going to make me pay for my scooter helmet now. I'm like, I'll just wear it. Like, screw them. I'm going to wear this thing the whole way. I don't care. I'm not paying $50 for it. So he's like, hey, man, your seat's been moved. And I'm like, okay, whatever. What's my new seat? And he's like, you're in this one. Da, 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 da. And he's like, that's the exit row. I was like, okay. So I walk down the jetway, get on the plane, and I have not one row, but two rows to myself completely for the flight back. I was like, oh, hell yeah, desk agent, thank you.
Tight.
So she swapped it after I walked away.
Tight.
Yeah, sometimes awesome, they can be super nice.
Yeah, it wasn't even on my ticket. Like, yeah, it was dope, dude. Very cool.
Even when I just flew back from D.C. in February, like, I just kind of made I was talking with a lady, just chatting her up, you know, mm-hmm. like we do. Plus, I just was at the airport super early, so I was like just standing there, and I'm like, oh, right. Blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, hey, can we be careful with that luggage? It's got my mom's chicken salad in there. And she goes, mom's chicken salad? I go, yeah. So she starts throwing fragile stuff on it. Like the other day, I was looking at my suitcase, so it has like a tag that says fragile on it.
Dude, that's what I was talking about for my, what I was saying, I know where the podcast sticker would go, because I have this bag that's like a big, clean plastic face, like a black plastic, and they put a giant like sticker of some sort on there at one point, and just like it's all just adhesive now. Like I tried forever to scrape. I was right like the first time I flew with it too, right? Like brand new Christmas present suitcase, like boom, they plastered it on there. So I've been thinking I'm gonna do a whole like side of it that's just all stickers. So that's gonna be the first one. So
cool.
Yeah, thanks for sending those in.
Nice. You are back up here. You got some time off. We're all obviously going to a festival together. So here's part of my thing. The other day we were talking about doing stuff. It's 4 days, but like I also take a couple days off on the backside because like part of my vacation is like I don't want to sit around and do nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Where are you guys on that? Like Matt, you strike me as more an adventure person, but like, I don't know. You're like Taryn. I don't know when you stop or when you actually sleep.
You mean afterwards? Yeah. Afterwards, my schedule is kind of brutal, but I have Monday off at the gym.
All right.
So I'll rest Monday and then I'll come right here.
Well, not just that, but I'm saying in general, do you think you'd rather do vacations that are like all adventure or like some days chilling or?
Well, like I just did a vacation this weekend. I mean, we'll get to more in what's matinee, but I did both. It was like adventure and chilling and, you know, having a good time. But that was only a 1 day trip.
That's a weekend trip.
Yeah.
Don't call that a vacation, man.
Okay. Well, I guess we adventured out of Amsterdam, you know, out to the Tulip Gardens and. That All right. really was an adventure. You know, you're navigating in a land where English isn't the main language. There's a lot of it there, but when you get out towards Keukenhof, it's, you know, you're navigating a bunch, like three different types of public transportation to get an hour outside of town to go look at some tulips. Like, what the hell? It was wild. So getting in and out of that. Yeah, I like some adventure, but I also like to relax occasionally.
Yeah, like I remember when I was a kid, like we just go to the beach for like a week, but like, a lot of the beach is kind of chilling. You just go down to the beach and chill on the beach and then get back to the place.
When we went to dinner.
Prior to the beach week era. Right?
No, I'm saying with my family.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, beach week is completely
but
different.
But is this a similar beach? Same beach?
Oh, yeah, Ocean
Maryland?
City.
Okay, Ocean City. Cool.
There's adventures you can do this weekend that I'm not doing. You know, like those excursions or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, some people I've noticed, like, if they take a 6 day vacation, like, the whole week is packed.
Yeah, they're running around, climbing mountains, whatever. For me, yeah. I need at least one recovery day at the end. Like, you know, I love to do cheat day and just like lay around my house in my underwear, eat pizza, candy.
Right.
I need that before I can be like, okay, and transition back to workflow. So whatever the vacation was, however many rest days or non-rest days or whatever, like if I fly or like just come in after a long like bender or something, like I need one day and then I'm good.
That's Monday for me this week.
Yeah.
Are we doing the cast on Tuesday?
That's a negative. Unlikely. I have Tuesday off.
Perfect.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever done one right after, have we? I think I'll be back for the third weekend, fourth week too. So
I don't think so because I used to. No,
yeah, I don't think we do it.
Yeah, I don't think we do. 1 year after the hockey trip, I had to work that Monday, and that sucked.
So how many days are you taking off?
Monday and Tuesday.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Can I plug my appearance on King 5 next Tuesday?
Go ahead.
When this comes out,
I'll
be on New Day Northwest at like 11, doing a fitness segment for a few minutes. So
I'll be sitting at home smoking weed watching you.
Keep an eye out for that. It'll be online too. I'm sure I'll share that and stuff. But yeah, pretty pumped about that. It was going to be today, but it got pushed back. So now I'm doing it the Tuesday after Meltdown, which I think will be cool. You know, I'll have Monday to recover. And then,
are you going on there as like Matt from the radio that also does fitness or Matt
both.
From the gym?
I think
that
both.
Also does radio?
I don't know, both.
That's tight, man. That'll be awesome.
I'm going on as me, and I do both. So, but I'll be talking about fitness. But, you know, I talk about fitness on my blog, KISW.com.
Like, you're going to wear sleeves?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a polo I'll be wearing.
All right.
It's kind of like an athletic one, like golf. But it's soft. It's comfortable. So I'll be relaxing. And, yeah, Josh is going to be on with me.
I'm just picturing Ted with, like, a big slice of pizza smoking weed. He's like, go get a mat.
Right on that Tuesday.
Ted's in straight recovery mode.
Dude, I mean,
maybe I'll throw that in. Don't forget, recovery is important, too.
Yeah. This sounds kind of pathetic, because today, as we tape this, is July 31st. But, like, the other day, somebody was like, or today, right? And, granted, I had just eaten my lunch. So, but somebody came by with, like, extra pizza. Like, you want some pizza? And I was like, nah, man, I'm good. And then I was like, you know, truthfully, haven't had pizza since July 2nd. Which isn't that crazy of a time, but for
wow.
me, right? If people
wow.
know me, that's a long time.
That's a long time, and it's hilarious that you know the date.
Yeah, yeah. That probably doesn't sound the best.
That's awesome.
I can't believe nobody called me out on that. They were just like,
oh, really? Nobody brought that up yet?
Probably when I left, they were like, why does he know the date of the last time he had a piece of pizza?
Dude, it's like the movie, like
29 days ago.
Yeah.
It's like Castaway. You're like scratching little marks into your door frame, like 17. He's like, that's going to eat into the security deposit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so probably my point is, there's going to be some pizza involved. Probably, and you're right, probably cold slice of pizza when Matt's doing that exercise.
Dude, so what's you moved. What's your go-to at your new spot? Still in that Pagliacci game or something else?
Well, Dino's is delicious.
Is Dino's the giant ones you got for your Christmas or your birthday
party?
No, that's
Italian family-style pizza.
Okay.
Dino's is right on the corner of literally of Denny and Olive, and it's, I guess, the people that did Delancey.
Oh, I know where
it is. They put a Monty out of business.
Yeah.
Oh, is a Monty gone now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a weed shop.
It's going to be a weed shop?
That's affirmative, sir.
Woo!
Is that more than, I guess, I don't care if it's 1,000 feet from a park. Nice.
Shout
That's
out
awesome.
To the new Dockside in Ballard. I just got a dope new weed shop in my neighborhood, too.
Dino's is great, right? But, like, they...
Wait, so it's going to be, like, a pizza shop across the street from a weed shop.
Yeah. Dino's, honestly, awesome. Might be the best pizza, I think, in the city right now.
Wow. Ooh.
They have a square grandma pizza that's, like, it's perfect, man. So me and Migs have gone in there a couple times. Plus, it's, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. That is an expensive pizza. Just want to put that out there. But you can go in there and get slices, too, and then they have, like, the red lights. I mean, it looks like an East Coast pizzeria.
What's a slice, Ron, just so we have an idea?
I'm not positive, because last time we were in there, I had a few beverages, and I think Steve was just like, oh, I got it, man.
How big are the slices?
I mean, the grandma slice is square, but it's legit that big.
Okay.
Because, like, when you get a large one, it's just 8 huge slices.
Whoa.
And I'm always pumped to hear about good East Coast-style pizza.
Wait till you drive up with AC.
Ted's talking with his hands right now.
Ask AC. I had AC over a few months ago. We had this pizza.
Nice.
I think he'll vouch for it.
Oh, dude, and he was a pizza delivery guy for Pagliacci for a long time. So, like, if honestly, he's my go-to pizza expert. Like, anytime we order, he always does the order.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I still love Pagliacci's still my girl. And those and the last one I had on the second had those Walla Walla sweets on it.
Oof. I was just thinking about how much I would love, like, I just love the way AC breaks things down, and I would love to hear him break down pizza for me.
Oh yeah, pizza talk with AC Gaming. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Got some time for that this weekend.
That was the thing. We got the pizza right, and then he was like, he kind of was like, "Oh, it tastes like this or that," and I was like, "Really?" Like, all right. And then like a couple pieces in, he's like, "All right, I see what you're saying now."
Yeah. Okay.
So Dino's is the new spot.
Dang. All right. Cool. Yeah, man, I love a good East Coast pizza.
With that said, that would, you know, probably going to be Pagliacci. That's generally tradition. I mean, from back 2011, that was like the first thing I said.
It's
that
still not very far from you.
No.
But not as close as Dino's.
No, not at all. But if I order Pagliacci, I don't know. Obviously, it's a bad habit, but like going to Dino's is fun, but there's something nice about ordering a pizza to your home.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. That salad and just like...
Mm-hmm. And you get... And so you use Pagliacci's for that, is what you're saying.
Yes, correct. Gotcha. I can't do... I don't know. I don't want to call anybody out. There's some places I think I might be over.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. The older I get, the stomach does not respond well that following morning.
It's good to notice things.
Right? All right, we got way off track there. I don't know about...
For usual.
It's
par for the course, dude.
Yeah.
You guys like to
I'll
relax?
Put pizza
do you like
in the description.
Do you like adventures? I like adventures that end in pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Sign of a good time. I had a fucking pizza ice cream cone this weekend.
I don't even know what that
means.
Wait
a minute,
Yeah.
This is the cone that's like dough, and it's all pizza, right?
So, yeah, it's the crust is the cone, and then it's just like filled with melted cheese and pepperoni.
And then is there ice cream?
No, it's just shaped like an ice cream
cone. Shaped like an ice cream cone, but it's just pizza.
Yeah.
Matt, you laugh, but you were eating burgers with donut sandwiches, so I never know with you. I have to ask the hard questions.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I've earned that. But it was, it's just like crust wrapped up as the cone with cheese and pepperoni.
So it's like a pizza roll, kind of?
It was shaped like a cone more. Like, pizza rolls are small. This was like two slices of pizza.
He's not wrong.
That sounds pretty bomb.
In theory, it's kind of like a giant pizza roll.
Kind of. Yeah, but more... Torpedo shaped or
no, like an ice cream cone.
So it's like you hold it like an ice cream cone?
Yeah. Yeah, we held it like
an
ice cream cone.
How does it not drip out the bottom?
It's all solid on the bottom. Wow. The solid got like the crust got a little harder, a little thicker. It was really good.
All right.
It was really hot.
No kidding, right? That's another fair warning. If you go to Dino's and order a whole pie, be careful. Like, my hair is standing up right now. Last time me and Steve got a whole pot, I mean, I burnt the shit out of my mouth.
Is it going to be hot?
Yeah, it's going to be warm.
Dude,
yeah.
And that's the thing with pizza, too. Like, you never, like, when it's hot, like, you're always, like, kind of, like, trying to eat it, but trying to wait. And, like, I never wait. I always burn the hell out of my mouth.
Yeah, and I'm so used to like getting delivery pizza, it's already cooled off. First time I've been sitting in a pizzeria when they like slid it down.
Yeah, when it's fresh out of the oven.
You know when you get like
and
that little
taste
hanging?
Taste anything for 3 days.
Yes! Yes, and like the next morning trying to eat, it's like,
oh, right inside the top two teeth, yeah.
I mean, it's the best pizza in the city, but it is so hot.
Have you guys experienced, do you guys ever eat Captain Crunch?
You know what?
It has a similar
effect. I don't.
Yeah, it like chews up the top of your mouth too. It sucks.
I feel like salt and vinegar chips can do that.
Yeah, I've never been a big salt and vinegar guy. I've just started liking them in the last like maybe year or so, but I've never like, I haven't gone ham on a bag yet.
Yeah, I had
open to it.
I had to stop eating Captain Crunch because it did that. Yeah. It was one of my favorite cereals, but eventually you just got to grow up.
They have a Captain Crunch Crunch Berries Slurpee right now.
What?
Yeah, and it tastes like horrifically exactly like it. It was not good.
You
it tastes like if you let the Crunch Berries sit in milk for like 6 hours, and then you drink it. That's what it tastes like.
Is that good or bad?
No, it's not good.
It's a little intense.
Well, you live in the land of 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
7-Eleven started in Texas.
Texas,
really?
Originally. Oh. Yeah, another one by like some Japanese company, I think.
Did you know I live closer to a 7-Eleven now than I did at the barracks?
Is that even possible? Oh, yeah. Wait, which... Do you guys live by the 7-Eleven on Market?
No.
Oh, because my friend... What?
On 24th.
Oh, 24th, okay.
Yeah, there's another one.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
a bunch of my friends live kitty corner from the one on Market. That's what I was wondering.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know my buddy Hank.
Oh, he does?
Carl. Yeah.
That's where they live right now?
Yeah.
Cool.
Does anybody buy gas at that expensive-ass gas station down the street from your house?
For, like, old cars and stuff.
All right.
It's
it seemed like he put prices up there that nobody was going
to
pay.
It's for those, like, old-school cars that, they're trying to keep running, and they got to pay super premium, and I guess there's some difference in it.
Huh.
But he's able to stay open.
When I went by at Seafood Fest,
landmark.
He was just selling, like, it was like a flea market out there. The pumps weren't even open.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool little piece of character.
All right. Cobb, want to read some emails?
Oh, I thought we were going to, okay.
Thought we were going to go down what?
Well, I just, I know you don't want to talk about Meltdown a lot, but I would just, I'm interested to hear a little bit of your thoughts on it. It's this weekend, I'm excited. Matt's excited. Talk me through it. What's going through your mind at a time like this, on a day like today?
I don't know.
You ready for the big dance? You're
scared?
I'm
excited. I'm just ready to go. Like, sorry, I feel like I've talked this motherfucker to death. Yeah. And then I know tomorrow on the MegaCast, me and Steve spent half an hour this morning talking about
it. All right, cool.
I talked to Taryn. Like, I got up at 7:30 today, went to the gym, and I was already texting Taryn before she got up today. I mean, if you have thoughts, give them out. I'm just saying, I don't know.
What's up, boys? Can't wait to see the Bad Boys of Summer at Meltdown. I just bought my tickets for Meltdown. I caught up a little bit with Matt at the Bill Burr Show, and I've had a lot of positive things happen in my life recently, being diligent the past few months.
Nice. Diligent!
And I'm going to be living on my own soon, and by this time next year, I'll be living in Texas. So, Cobb, I'll be emailing you on things to do in Austin eventually. I look forward to hopefully handing out mixtapes at Meltdown, kicking it old school. Keep up with the best podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Your boy Moose. My, what? Okay. Yeah, we'll just go with Moose.
Cool,
Yeah, word, man. Hit me up.
Moose was there last year, right?
Yeah, that's where I met him first time. Then I saw him at Bill Burr. He's lost a bunch of weight and is doing good.
I was
having trouble.
Attaboy.
Tying. Oh, yeah. Dude, I remember talking to Moose, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had, the shoulder thing.
Yeah. That's, okay. Who? There's two. I'll ask you guys off cast. Greetings to the best podcast in all the land.
All the land.
That state-sized amount of plastic in the Pacific Ocean wasn't found as a I've never known how to say this word. Contiguous island, continual or whatever. Yeah, I don't know how to say
contiguous?
It.
Contiguous?
I don't know. It's because it also has U-O-U-S ending.
Contiguous?
Yeah. That's the thing, is that's phonetically, how you'd go, but I don't know how to say it.
Uh-huh.
Island, but mostly as little bits of plastic consumed by fish and ocean life. How that will affect the ecosystem is unknown, but we do know it's already hurting the reproductive cycles of many species. It's even worse than most assume. When I went to Hawaii, my girlfriend and I hiked a couple miles up to the Punch Bowl. It's a burial ground for Pacific veterans in the bowl of a dead volcano overlooking Honolulu. It was gorgeous and somber. I would sleep there for a grand. Best. Noble.
Oh, yes. We were
I was wondering how he was going to tie that all back in. Yeah. That's actually a really good email. to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Since I'm no longer a first-time emailer, I thought I'd go ahead and respond to a Cobb topic for the first time, too. and I am one of your longtime listeners. I vaguely remember the pre-podcast days when Ted was just talking about starting one and some trial episodes I don't think you guys ever aired.
Nice.
So yes, absolutely. Camping in a cemetery would be no problem. I love camping. On the other hand, I don't think you could pay me enough to sleep in a coffin in the ground. And I want to be composted when I die. There's a really good book by Mary Roach called Stiff, The Curious Life of Human Cadavers. It talks about alternative methods to burial or cremation. I like the idea of going back to the earth and cemeteries full of trees rather than headstones. Me too.
I was just telling my girlfriend about that this weekend.
About that book?
No, about that, like the being planted as a tree, like in an urn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. The book also talks about the actual moment when you die, which was sort of something the men's room was talking about the other day. Is it when your heart stops or your brain stops? Apparently, there's been some experimentation to see how long people and animals would survive after decapitation in order to test different theories. It's a bit more morbid, but super interesting. Love you guys. XOXO, Dom.
Huh.
Yeah, right. So, like, if you cut the head off and the body's still running around, like, is that just your body going through the motions of stuff? Like, it's not, to me, that's not still a person.
It's just your nervous system, like, yeah, running like through reacting. Its last few cycles of habit.
Well, yeah, so I think the research you're talking about was the in World War II, the Japanese were doing a bunch of research with, like, cutting off limbs, reattaching them on the other side, things like, yeah, cutting off the head and seeing how long. And the U.S. actually ended up not prosecuting those people for war crimes because they wanted the information for the U.S. Biological Warfare Department, or whatever the actual name of that is, I don't know, but for, you know, making chemical weapons, because they did a bunch of research with that, with how long it takes people to die by hypothermia, stuff like that. And so, yeah, I would say I think it's when your heart stops rather than when your brain stops. If I had to, because they always, like, you know, they say, like, the stomach is the second brain, and, like, I don't think our brains are all, I don't think all of our thinking is necessarily just done in the brain. If you have to pick one, I mean, obviously, like, they're happening pretty close together, but.
Yeah, it's weird, too, because there was, I read a story just a couple months ago about somebody was in a coma, and he was like, you know, so it appeared that he was brain dead, but he was like, I heard everything.
Yeah,
I heard conversations like, can you imagine hearing your family talk about pulling the plug, but, like, you can't physically do a thing about it?
I'd be like, yeah, pull that shit. Like, you just lay in there and you, like, all you can do is, like, nothing. You just, you know, what if you have an itch or something? I mean, it'd be a nightmare. Some people have that when they wake up for, like, an hour or two. They'll be able to, like, think but not move their limbs.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So there's, like, a couple, what's it called? Like, I don't want to say therapy methods. There's a couple, like, techniques that they're taught to get out of that. But yeah, it happens. Whoa. There's a name for it. I was just reading about it like 2-3 weeks ago. If anyone knows, feel free to email us. But it's basically like when you're dreaming and then you wake up, but there's some sort of paralysis where you can't move for a bit. Sometimes it's a minute, sometimes it's up to like 2-3 hours, and it sounds pretty scary.
Whoa. Sometimes I wonder if it wasn't for urination, would I get up?
In the middle of the night or at all?
I just mean like sometimes, like, you know what I mean, even for like it's like, all right, I got to get up. I got to pee.
Do you take a pee every night?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. And I was thinking about, like, would it be really disgusting to have, like, so basically, like, the plumbing runs into your house. Like, if you just had, like, some sort of a small, like, I don't know, 2-liter-sized porcelain bowl that went down into the plumbing, but then you had, like, a cover for it, like a screw on top or something, so you could just roll over, take a piss, and roll back over.
Because, like, I drink.
Is that crossing a line?
I mean, I think it is. But, yeah, like, whenever I go to bed, like, it's always, like, it's almost like a little kid, like, should we pee one more time?
Yeah,
are we just going to have to get up in like 20 minutes and pee?
Yeah.
or if we fall asleep, are we going to be up in an hour?
You got to get that prostate checked out, Ted.
Right.
We'll find a sexy nurse in Meltdown to do it for you.
Well, the other problem is I drink my bulk of liquid like in the afternoon. Mm. Right? It's like I wake up and pee and then, you know, but it's like from like 4 o'clock on, I feel like I'm peeing the most, right? Because I drink, you know, I drink water during the show and this and that.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. Matt, what do you think? Is it weird or no?
To put the plumbing hole like next to your bed?
Some sort of, I mean, it could be whatever device you think would serve the purpose the best.
If it's somebody like you who's like, you know, super successful bachelor type that has his own place, you know, in a few years, like, yeah, totally. You know, if you find a chick to settle down with, she's probably not going to go for that. Dude, but I think it'd be awesome.
You saying that?
I see the utility in it.
Just reminded me, like, I, like, I don't know that there's a good term for, like, you know when you just, like, sleep next to someone, but you don't sleep with them? You know, like, you don't have sex with them? You know, so, like, I, like, slept next to this girl who is a psychologist in, like, Fremont. No, was that in Wallingford or Fremont? I don't know. I went on a, she was, like, in school for psychology or whatever, and she had a urinal in her closet.
What?
A urinal, mind you. She lived in the bottom of a house in Wallingford. And so she had, like, it was just, like, the basement, kind of, that had been sort of separated. Uh-huh. And she had, like, not a walk-in closet, but, like, just a closet where your clothes were hanging up, and you could part the clothes and basically pee into the wall.
She didn't put it there.
No, it was there. The homeowners.
Whoa. I think, did she let you use it?
I don't remember if I used it or not. That was probably, like, 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I know I wanted to.
I would have
to.
Totally asked to.
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, with you, I would have had to pee in
there. Look.
But then, like, she's just sitting right there, you know, like, next to you.
Don't care.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think there was, like, a little kitchenette bar thing down there. Maybe that's, like, part of that in some harebrained scheme. I don't know. I'll cover just a couple of the many great topics brought up by the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I think we know who this
Buckle
is.
Buckle up.
I liked Ted's observation about water and how it's a giver of life, as well as the comments he got on it. I don't know about you, but I do find it very interesting when people think you have to be on some sort of mind-altering substance to have a profound observation. It says a lot more about them than it does you. Keep going,
Thank
Ted.
Thank you.
You're doing real good in the world. Exclamation point. Cop topic. I'd have no problem sleeping
Thank
in
you.
The cemetery with a six-pack of space dust. Only caveat, if someone actually does it, bring warm clothes and a thermal wrap. Cemeteries get very cold at night. Get that competition smoker, Ted. Bacon. P.S. I'll make the case for plastic once I gather my thoughts. Check your email, Matt.
Those are good, succinct bullet points right
there.
Yeah,
he's on it.
We got time for one more?
Six pack of space dust. That'll get it done.
Yeah, we're good.
For real. Yeah, that stuff's heavy, man. I don't know if I could even drink six of those. I like it, but... Yeah, do you think you could do six of those?
Well, yeah.
A whole night?
I'd be wasted, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
But usually my limit on those, like, especially space dust, is 2 to 3.
Usually. Well, you usually don't sleep in cemeteries.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I don't... Those IPAs are so strong. Like, they're strong and they're so hoppy. Like, I could go home on a weeknight and drink a six-pack of Miller Lite and be fine. If I drink four IPAs, like, the next day, I'm like, God, like, I feel awful.
They're intense.
Yeah. With that said, you know, you're going to see me in the beer garden at some point and be like, dude, I got an IPA. I'm trying to get drunk.
Come get this space dust.
Yeah, man.
No.
No.
Shout out to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Last time I wrote in, it was 2015, and the year of the hustle was in full swing.
Oh, nice.
Wow. We talked about trying to find work and expatriate to Germany. Well, here we are now in 2018, the year of diligence. And by the time you read this, I'll be living just outside of Frankfurt, Germany, starting my new job.
Huh.
Woo, dude, hell yeah.
Nice.
To say the least, it's been one of the biggest decisions of my life, and there have been many ups and downs in this journey. Looking forward to hearing more from you boys from the other side of the pond. Auf Wiedersehen.
Oh, nice.
Wow. That's super cool.
Dude, that's awesome, man. He made a goal 3 years ago and made it happen? Well, so it's tough to tell if he put his name or not because it's in gray down here. See what I'm saying? So, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, dude, that's awesome, man.
Yeah,
especially
that's
to set a goal
cool.
3 years out and make it happen. That's hard, man.
That's,
like, to stay the course for that long.
Yeah,
shout
that's
out.
Kind of what... I haven't sat down and done it yet, but the Jordan Peterson has the self-authoring suite where you kind
of
like...
Mm-hmm. I did part of it.
You did?
It's pretty good.
Okay.
Actually, dude, I might have... I think when you buy it, you get
two. Yeah, you get two.
If I have another one, you can...
I already got it. Okay. And I haven't... When I sit down to write, I write other things. I have a lot of writing projects, a lot of irons in the writing fire. And but yeah, it talks about like 3 to 5 years is that optimal like goal-setting range. But so... To make it happen like that is just super cool to hear because, yeah, it's fun to set goals and crush them. And
yeah.
Hey,
living in
pays
Germany.
Off. Yeah. Dude, yeah, I want to go to Germany. So see how long he's out there.
Yeah,
for.
I was just talking to somebody about apparently, I guess this might be counterintuitive or like this might be a given, but apparently Oktoberfest is still really, really awesome despite all the tourists. Where like I guess for some reason I was under the impression that it had just been like overrun. No, apparently it's still rad, so I really want to go to that at some point.
I mean...
Yeah, I think our only reference point is, like, Oktoberfest, like, in Leavenworth, or, like...
It's a Leavenworth.
Or, like...
I love Oktoberfest in Leavenworth.
Right, but, like, that got overrun.
Yeah.
The type of people that are going
to... They expanded it to 4 weekends.
I think the type of people that are going to make their way to Germany for that, like, yeah, there may be a lot of them, but I think they're probably going to be pretty cool people. Like when you go to the more...
There's a filtering effect.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Burning Man is the same thing.
Right.
It's like you don't end up out there by accident.
Right. So...
Right.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. But with that said, you know, it's like I was saying a couple weeks ago. I always made fun of people that go to Capitol Hill block parties. Like, they're not earning it. And I got a VIP wristband and I went and had a blast. I mean, these things happen.
It happens.
Was that the last email?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out what's Mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out what's Mattening.
Man, it made me so sad last week when we were concerned about where the hell you were and your voice came on during that. It was just like, crushed me. So, welcome back. Good to see you in person, Cobb. This weekend, in preparation of Meltdown, and just because I really love Five Alarm Funk, so does my girlfriend, we flew to Boise to see them. We left Saturday morning. And we were on a small plane that was half the seats were available. So when we went by Mount Rainier, which because we were on a smaller plane and on that flight path, it was the closest to Rainier I've ever flown. And the plane had those external propellers.
So yeah, it was like a twin prop?
It just looked cooler.
A turboprop or whatever.
And so it was a sweet flight. You know,
how close were you guys?
Edibles in full effect, as usual.
You fly Alaska?
Yeah.
Is that one of those shorter flights where you get the free beer if you want?
They did offer that. Yeah.
What? Why is it free beer?
Just like when I flew to Montana, they were like, hey, it's like a shorter flight. Like, you get a free beer. And then when I flew to Boise, the same thing.
Yeah. They did it when I flew into Santa Barbara as well.
Oh, but
it was
rad.
Like, what time was our flight?
7 a.m.
7 a.m. And they still did it. And people still took
them. Oh, I would have been like,
absolutely.
You got a strong IPA?
I had like 3 1-to-1 CBD THC capsules. Like, I made a fun thing on my phone, just messing around. It was kind of, I don't know. It's on my Facebook. It was pretty funny. But I was super baked the whole flight and had a great time. And then I was like, is that right near? And it was. And it was, like I said, as close as I've ever seen. I was like, we're too close. What the hell is going on? The captain comes on and he's all like, yeah, we're able to fly really close to it because it's just where we're going. So enjoy the view.
Did he say that because you said out loud we're too close to it?
No.
Oh. No. I like the idea you're
no,
like,
I was just thinking,
did you say out loud, is that Rainier?
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So on the flight back,
it's like, nah, man, Kilimanjaro.
I'm pretty loud on flights. I'm just having fun.
His girlfriend's just nodding in the background.
I mean, no offense, but on flights?
Dude, totally.
Like, you're a loud talker. It's all right. That just happens to be a confined space you're stuck in.
Exactly. So.
So. It's like, I like to drink on flights. Yeah. Miles always says that ass, and I'm like, man, shut up.
Yeah.
That's super funny. So, yeah, so when I saw it, and I was like, I think that's Rainier, I just like ran up and went to my own row because there was a bunch of completely open rows and took some pictures and just like checked it out. And it was a great flight. So that was
nice.
Fun. There, it was like an hour and a half or something like that, so super quick. And then we landed.
And you gain an hour.
Yeah.
Right, or one way you gain
an
hour.
Yeah, so we had like a full day in Boise, which is about all we needed. But we did have a great time. it was a cool town.
It's smaller than you. Sorry, Boise. It was smaller than I expected.
Put a fucking convenience store downtown. Jesus. We were looking for like sunscreen and soda waters and like, yeah, there's a Jackson's like almost to the other side of the river and that we found later on, but it was.
Is that big truck stop one? There's one like kind of up on like a hill truck stop now.
No, it's just headed towards the river right by which we went down to and we walked to the river, which was awesome. But yeah, we were looking for some random stuff that one convenience store could have helped us out with, and we ended up at Trader Joe's. Like, I know, it's just missing Seattle. There's a corner store every block.
Yeah.
It's very convenient. So, but other than that, it was a great town. We had a great time. And we went down to, well, first of all, the farmer's market was going on right outside our hotel, which was pretty sweet to walk around. I'd say I'm partial to Ballard, but I live there, so I like Ballard's a little bit better. But it was a sweet, sweet thing. It was right downtown.
Ballard's is exceptionally good.
Right.
In your defense.
Right. So it was really cool. And then once we finally got our sunscreen and board shorts, I had to find because I forgot mine. And then we went to the park, which was down on the river, and there's a like goddess fest going on. So there's a bunch of like booths with different crafts going on and food. That's where I had the pizza ice cream cone.
All right.
And so some food vendors, some clothes vendors, and a music stage, and just kind of smaller little festival at a public park that you could bring the kids to. And so we checked that out for a little bit, and then we went down to the river, and there was like a little rock island that you could just walk to that nobody was on. It was like crazy that it was completely open right in the smack middle of downtown, and there's like 1,000+ people up in the park, and nobody's down at this awesome beach, like rock beach on the river. There's a bunch of like goose crap in the top of it, but you know, the shores were fine. So we had a good time there for a few hours, and people were all floating the river coming down. And you would think when I float Snoqualmie, there's a bunch of different places that people stop off at, and there wasn't any of that anywhere. It seemed like everybody just like kept going by. I thought people would be pulling off to have a beer or whatever. But
like a little Shotgun Island or something?
Yeah, it would have been perfect for that. But everyone just kept going, so it was a lot of fun swimming in the river, did some squats. My girlfriend was making fun of me for that, but I just, you know, saw a bunch of big rocks. I was like, hey, you could do them anywhere. It's kind of fun, but
squats just, on a rock.
Yeah.
Kind of get that pump on.
River squats, why not? You know, you can do them anywhere. That's kind of what I say. Like, oh, you can exercise when it works for you. I'm pretty busy. You just make time. You know, I do work for a gym, but I do a lot of just body weight stuff here and stuff like that. So it's fun to get those in and just spend a whole day on the river in the sunshine. It was like 100 degrees. It was crazy because one time I got out of the river, and even though it was 100 degrees, I was freezing cold. And that was really just tripping me out. I could not get over. I was just laughing at the fact that I was so goddamn cold in 100-degree weather. I'm like, I know it's 100 degrees out here. Why do I feel this way? I understand the water's cold, but now I'm out of the water. And it was a whole mental battle that I went through, but it was fun. So then after that, we went and got some food at 10 Barrel Brewing Company, I think it was.
Oh, nice.
Which they have a few locations, and
yeah,
had some good food there, and that was right by the venue. Then we went and saw Five Alarm Funk, and man, they're just so goddamn good. It was so fun. We stood right up front in front of Ricky Valentine again, and like I was saying last week with Taryn, if you're not following Ricky Valentine on Instagram and Facebook, like, he's just got...
He again?
He plays Cowbell. And wears short shorts and changes costumes a bunch. And he also puts on a mask and becomes Reggie Bray. And it's the whole thing. And he has these stories on Instagram that just are these different plot lines with these characters that he's making up that he's developing while he's just sitting in the van driving for 8 hours a day. You know, so he's just coming up with these different storylines about DJ Anitor and Ricky and Reggie's adventures. And Ricky disfigured Reggie's face in a cleaning supply accident, and now Reggie's taking him on a scuba trip. But like, so it's a whole thing. There's a bunch of drama. We're just having a great time talking about that. So check out Ricky Valentine on Instagram and Facebook because it's awesome. Then the show was just killer, but we had a great time and got to talk to all the guys. They were super stoked. We flew out from Seattle to see him, and we've seen them enough that they kind of know who we are. And so we were all just talking about Meltdown, getting stoked. And
cool.
So spent a day on the river and then checked out Five Alarm Funk, like really just pre-funked for Meltdown.
What time was your flight back?
As good as I could. It was Sunday, like 3 or something. So we went down.
So no rush in the morning.
Yeah, we got some of those rental bikes and went down the Greenbelt, down the river. And they had river surfing, which I'd never seen. Like, it's kind of like a man-made dam that was initially for a kayaking feature, a guy was saying, and then people figured out that it was just kind of like a dope wave that you go up on the side and then you jump on into the wave with your board underneath you, and you can just kind of like ride the wave for a while, and then eventually it'll like kind of knock you off, and you float down the river a little bit and gather yourself and swim out to the side and go up and do it again. And they're saying there's no rocks or anything that's super deep. No one's ever hit the bottom, and it's safe and fun. And it was like,
that's awesome. I've seen some guys on kayaks do that, where they'll sit like right on the edge of that wave where there's the gravity's pulling them backwards, but the wave's pushing them forward.
Yeah,
and they can sit there like 5-10 minutes.
It was really cool. And he said there was a spot in Bend, Oregon, but I don't know if there's anything around here. I posted on the KISW Facebook to ask if anyone knows of anything in Washington and wants to show me. I'd love to.
It's kind of wild just to think anybody in Idaho, a landlocked state, is surfing
on the river. And they were legit like bros in wetsuits, and just the talk and the dialect, like they just sounded like bros in the middle of Boise on a river. Like, it was really, really weird and funny. But yeah, it was super, super rad. And the guy I was talking to was telling me, I think they put it in 2012 or something, and he's like, it's really taken off, there's a whole scene. And I was like, this is the one wave? He's like, yeah, like there's a whole scene around just this one wave on the Boise River. So, and there was literally a surf shop.
There's a surf shop? Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so when I was riding...
The wave's really pumping today.
When I was riding my bike, because the day before we were looking for board shorts, and I was like, where are you going to find board shorts in Boise unless you drive out to the suburbs and find a Ross?
The surf shop should totally be called The Wave.
The Wave, right? There's one.
Yeah. And we got it. Get in here.
Yeah. It was really cool. And so I saw the sign for the surf shop as we're riding our bikes down the Greenbelt. I'm like, what the fuck is that doing here? And then I saw a bunch of people surfing in the river, and it's just like, what the hell? But yeah, it's this man-made wave, and the guy said it was originally built as a kayak feature, but some people figured out you could surf on it, and next thing you know, there's like a legit surf shop right next door.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, it was cool. It was a good experience of the town, but like I said, I don't think I needed much more time to get that done.
Yeah, I mean, look, I had a great time when I went down there, but I went to a college football game. But there's just like it kind of shocked me. I just thought it was going to be a bigger town.
Not the most exciting. There was Basque Street or something like that, or the Basque area that we hit after Five Arm Funk that seemed to have a lot of bars. And
Basque with a K or Q-U-E?
Q-U-E.
Was it down by the stadium?
Kind of.
Yeah, I think that's where I was.
Yeah, and so they had it was a little...
It's a college
little
town,
bar
so there's got to be a strip.
Yeah, so there was a little bar district that we kind of saw, and it was, you know, your usual whatever you'd see outside Capitol Hill, you know, divided by 10 or something like that. I don't know the exact number, but it was cool.
All right.
Nice.
Is it about that time?
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cob topic.
Cob topic.
Cob topic. So obviously I went missing last week. Nobody could find me.
Confirmed.
So that kind of got me thinking, like, I don't know, basically just like, where is the last place on earth that people would look for you? So the cob topic this week, if you were to get lost, if you were to go missing, if you want, like, not like you're trying to hide, like behind like a, you know, like in like a closet or behind a couch or something, but like, what's the last place that people would look for if you went missing? Feel free to email us, email thepodcast.com, or hit us up on the Twitter machine.
States or is this open to the world?
Dude, anywhere. Like, where's the last place? But it can't be like, oh, I would hide like behind that like bush right there. You know what I mean?
I don't know why. I just feel like some random country in South America.
Someone with really harsh marijuana laws.
Got one in mind? You need somebody that doesn't extradite first.
Uruguay?
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I would not expect you to be in Uruguay.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be a pretty good country, too, for traveling.
What about Panama?
I've been to Panama. Not that... well, actually, you know...
Is it one of the places that you can escape to?
Not anymore.
Yeah, you could. I mean, you could go there, but it's like.
I mean, Belize is the only one I think anymore that has the no extradition treaty. Am I saying that right?
What? Yeah.
Yeah, Belize.
True. They don't extradite.
Right. That's why. What's his name was down there forever. McAfee.
Yeah, McAfee.
Oh.
Yeah, that's been my go-to for years, but now I got to switch it up.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ted. Said it.
Yeah.
Well, I know Uruguay probably does.
Yeah.
Uruguay has a funny food culture too. It's like a bunch of Europeans went over there. Some people think there was an influx of Nazis that actually went
there. Yeah, northern Argentina as well.
Huh.
Yeah, a lot of people, well, some people, there's like a show all based around whether or not Hitler escaped to Argentina. Because The Nazis had like a bunch of stuff there, and I believe that like there was some discrepancy with whether or not the body was found by the Russians and whatever, and like they tried to dig it up and identify, but it was like the jaw of a woman and whatever. I don't know.
Now, is this somewhere that I would actually want to be, or that I think would just be the best strategy to not be found?
Well, I'll say this. Panama is not a place you want to be. That okay. country is just like, it's like you put a ton of people in a place, but you develop no infrastructure, no building code, like nothing. It's just crazy. It's total chaos. It's like Toontown. That's what it's like. Because the U.S. came in, and obviously they wanted to build the canal. So they put in like a little bit of infrastructure and basically like built a few buildings, whatever. And the economy is just built up around like, you know, the canal and shipping and stuff. But there's no like, there's no rhyme or reason. I mean, yeah. I was there for a month.
Is it worth visiting for that reason?
If you want to see like the church that Noriega was like hiding out in, and the U.S. was like playing rock music to get him out and stuff, like that's kind of cool. The Panama Canal is really cool, but in that area, I would say Bocas del Toro is way better. It's like this an island or chain of islands. I'm not sure. And then Costa Rica I also liked too, and Colombia is really good. It's right striking distance there.
Yeah, I've wanted to check out Costa Rica for a while.
Yes, it's pretty cool.
Costa Rica, like I'm gonna go to Colombia just because simply I have a buddy that lives down there.
Oh, tight.
Do you know what city?
Bogota.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't go even inland. I was just in Cartagena. So I got poisoned by the Empanada King.
Empanada King. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lives down there. I mean, he got engaged. Eventually, he's going to get married. But I think it's a good reason just to go check out Colombia.
Yeah, Colombia's cool and way safer than you think Colombia. You think like narcos and stuff, but that's really more Venezuela now. You know, Colombia
and
is
Mexico.
Like reasonably. Yeah, of course.
Right. And like he said, he's like the Colombians look down upon it now. Because, you know, like. You know, I watched all of Narcos. You forget, like, the second half of that story where he stopped building stuff for people. And they just, it was terrorism.
Yeah, they started bombing everything.
They started bombing everything, every government, like, right, every official, this and that.
Yeah, it's so crazy that, like, one man had more power than the entire government. I mean, he brought a government to its knees. It's insane.
I mean, that's pretty much
he built his own prison.
But I'm saying that's pretty much what El Chapo was doing in Mexico or...
Yeah, that's true. Now, but that cartel? At least was like within his like state or couple of states where like this, I guess by virtue of Colombia being smaller, it seems more bigger to me. You know what I mean? Like his power seems bigger, relatively speaking. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It's essentially the same thing.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Dude, it is crazy. That whole like, just the whole narco world is wild, man. Like El Chapo was all about that tunneling stuff. So do you remember, dude, when we were at Burning Man, I went off one day and I was like running around with like... I think I told you I was on like those weird like swinging bridges or something. Like, I don't know. I was gone all day. I came back and I made some friends, and one of them was a horizontal tunneling engineer. So what he does is like, they dig tunnels for like fiber optic cable or plumbing or whatever. And basically, it's similar to how you dig an oil well. So, you know, you like put one pipe on, screw it down, and then you attach another section, push it down, attach another section. Well, they can do the same thing horizontally. And they have this little joystick that they can guide this pipe, and every time they push it and kind of turn it, it's like the front of it almost looks like one of those old school harpoons that's a wedge on one side and flat on the other. You know what I'm talking about? It's like half of a an obtuse triangle. You know the shape I'm talking about, Ted, or no?
A
harpoon,
right?
Yeah. Okay, so it's like that. So they push it, and then so that pushes it off the side, and then they turn the head. They can rotate the head and push it. And basically,
drags it back out?
Well, basically, so the only thing that's important is they can stay within like a 4-inch radius and go wherever they want. So they can tunnel. That's how they tunneled in underneath El Chapo in that prison.
Yeah.
And then, so anyway, so he was saying that his contract that he just got done with was a bunch of Mexican businessmen in the border towns of Mexico had called them in to teach them about horizontal tunneling for some wells and fiber optic they were putting in.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I was down there for 8 months. Like,
yeah, those aren't fiber optic.
Yeah, exactly, dude. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. So like he was down there with a bunch of the drills and stuff, like showing them how to do that. So they can just run those tunnels now. And like, I mean, they can dig those holes fast. They dig all the way through, then they push like slurry through from the other side. Like it's a hole.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff still goes on. I mean, there's that dude in France who just had a helicopter pick him up.
Dude, yeah, what was that all about? I saw just the headline.
I mean, it's like a movie. Like there's one spot in the yard he could be where the helicopter could land. And they flew in, they landed there, and they got him.
And he escaped?
Yeah.
They don't know where he is?
I don't think they've caught him yet.
Whoa. Is this like a French drug lord or something?
No, he's just like a heist guy. Like a movie star, kind of. Like high-end heist and this and that. So, I mean, they planned it out forever. They said like they flew a drone over it like months beforehand. So everybody kind of forgot that the drone had even been there. And then there was some distraction with the guard. Somehow he got a weapon. And then, yeah, basically they ran to the center of the yard, landed the helicopter. And the helicopter pilot had no idea. They rented it, put a gun to his head, and were like, you're landing it in that prison.
Oh, the helicopter guard?
What? Yeah, he had no idea either.
Dude, so...
I mean, in the Narcos world... Sorry, we gotta go. But in the Narcos world, this stuff still goes on.
Oh, that's Oh, okay.
All right. So we're off next week. We'll be back the week after that. Hopefully Kyle will still be in town.
Yeah, next 4 weeks.
All right, nice. So we got all that. If he sees a meltdown, we'll say hello. If you see us on the river, hopefully it's not too cold. We'll worry about that weather. All right, there you go. There's episode 229 for MCTP. For Cobb, I'm Lee Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.